Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue. This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Monday edition. The holy cow, Gabe, I didn't realize your beard was so long edition. He'll be singing Silver and Gold and other classic hits from UConn Cornelius coming up in the show edition. The Jesse, we're not on video, right? We're on video.
Not today.
We're not streaming video today.
Coming soon.
Might need a photo of this edition. The Gabe and I got into it a little bit the other day on Jen, buddy. Gabe, and Chewy. Because apparently there are some meanies in the Badger fandom who haven't been very nice to Marquette. I'm not among them. And I was sad yesterday. Those people that Gabe referred to, guessing not so sad edition. And the once again, why do I use social media? I'll explain it coming up edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. And, of course, WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the ESPN Madison studios. Mark Tauscher is on assignment all week, so we have a cavalcade of top-notch cousin subs of the day. And kicking it off today and tomorrow, you hear him each weekday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He gets middle billing. It is Gabe Neitzel. Gabe, good morning. How are
you,
buddy?
Jason. I'm doing great. I'm the middle child of my own family, so I'm very used to that middle billing. Let's be honest. I mean, those are the real two stars of the show anyway. I mean, one of them is on national television for the biggest college football pregame show each and every Saturday, and Jen, and then, I mean, Chewy's Chewy. Like, Packers Hall of Famer, three-time Pro Bowler, and, I mean, he's just the engine that makes our show run. Like, you never know what that guy's going to say.
It is an engine that is unpredictable, I will say that. Speaking of unpredictable, it's been a while since I've seen you in person.
Yep.
And obviously this is not the case. But you are, for our fans that don't watch the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy stream when it's on, you're approaching ZZ Top phase.
Yeah, the beard has gotten really long. So this was something, Jason, that started last year. I went on a trip to Scotland, and my luggage got lost. Like, my luggage got lost. My golf clubs made it for a golf trip that I had. My luggage did not make it.
So that's all that really mattered was the golf clubs.
Oh, yes. The golf clubs were, like, I can buy new clothes, Jason, but when you're standing at the old course, a trip that you'd been looking forward to for, you know, 2.5 years at that point, because it was supposed to be in 2020, when you're standing over a 7-iron trying to hit a shot, like, you can look down and go, yeah, that's not my 7-iron. Whereas, clothes, whatever, I can buy those, and those are easily replaceable. But it took 35 days for my luggage to come back to me. And so, of course, in that luggage was, like, my beard trimmer and all those things. So the beard had started to get a little bit longer, and I thought about trimming it a little bit right before my wedding, because we had gotten back, and my wedding was June 11th last year. My wife's like, oh, I kind of like it a little bit longer. So I let it go a little bit long toward the end of last summer, not this long, and trimmed it up again and had gotten back to trimming it, and then had just decided, hey, let's see how long we can take this. And it's probably been, I don't know, 3-4 months since I've actually trimmed the beard. So it's gotten long. My wife still has not said anything to me about, oh, hey, that's too long, I think you should trim that, or, you know, kind of get a little more kempt. But I've kind of liked it. I've enjoyed seeing the looks on people's faces, like you haven't seen me in a while, going, whoa, what is going on there?
I would like to depict my reaction as something other than, whoa, what is going on there? But I might be lying if I tried to depict it any way differently. You kind of look Scottish, though. Like, I picture those Scottish guys at the old course with the beard that goes around the bottom.
Sure.
and is a little unkempt, to use your word. So your wife has been, you've told me this before, she has been on board, she is pro Gabe Beard.
That is
previously
correct. That is correct.
Do you believe that it's possible that despite being pro beard, she could reach a point where it is slightly longer than she is willing to support?
100%, and I have no doubt in my mind that she will tell me when we reach that point.
Okay. You've got that kind of marriage, very communicative. Good.
She will. I mean, she might not say, hey, that's getting long, you should trim it. She'll say something to make fun of me for having a long beard, and then I'll know, okay, now we could probably trim this thing up.
Well, you look great. If you're happy, I'm happy. And I'm happy
that,
to have you here as well. I was not planning beard talk on Wilde and Tausch, but that is where we began. Jesse, I'm just curious, because you're, compared to Gabe, you have been married longer to your lovely wife. Is there any sort of facial hair policy? Like, Paula really doesn't care how I look at this juncture, other than if I go too long without shaving and it's very gray, I get the, boy, that really makes you look old when you don't shave frequently. And then I know it's time to shave.
Beck is the director of appearance in our home, so like what I'm wearing, what I look like, when I get a haircut, she's in charge of all that. So if she wants to tell me that it's time for a beard trim, I'll trim the beard. She's the one who encouraged the beard in the first place, or whatever you want to call what I have here.
I was going to say.
Compared to Gabe, like,
Gabe's,
I'm a little intimidated. Like, when it's you and Tausch, I feel a little bit better about it, but you know, and Gabe's sitting here, it's a little different, but... she's in charge of all that stuff, so clearly I have no idea what looks good and what doesn't in life, so she's in charge.
So what you're telling me is that your appearance is reflective on Becca, and so if at any point others may think you don't look so good, that would be more of a reflection on her than on you about your appearance.
I think that's appropriate, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes I'll go rogue. Like today, I wore a sweatshirt and sweatpants into the office, and I think I got a couple of looks like, oh, are you really doing that? Like, you know, sometimes you make your own choices in life, but.
Wait. It's a Monday. You wore sweatpants to the office on a Monday?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of instead of casual Friday, casual Monday. Everyone's already in a good mood on Friday.
Well, no, hold on. Casual still means, you know, let's just at least put some jeans on. You know, like, casual's jeans. Casual isn't sweatpants. And this is coming from somebody that will wear sweatpants to the office, but usually that's on a Saturday or Sunday when literally nobody else is here but a couple of content teammates.
Yeah, I did it yesterday, too. Yeah. We all get along here in Madison. Everybody's okay with what we're all comfortable doing. So, yeah, we're in.
All right, wait a minute. Now, again, we've got all kinds of things we want to get to. The NCAA tournament.
Rodgers get traded yet?
The Aaron Rodgers scenario and my enjoyable week. I mean, I guess it didn't bother me that much. I just didn't spend much time. But I did try to respond to some people after I retweeted Kyle Brandt's basement take. But is there... So, as someone who does not come into the office very often, and as someone who has been fortunate enough to have very understanding teammates who understand that my default setting is hoodie and athletic shorts and matching Nike shoes, I was unaware that there was some sort of dress code.
Well, there's not really a dress code, but Jesse, what is your, other than producer of Wilde and Tausch, don't you have an actual title in that office?
Yes.
I feel if you have a title, like, and again, this is coming
from
somebody.
Director in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's either content manager or director of delegation, as Josh DiMaggio is named.
Oh,
so
okay.
One way or the other, I'm something.
Again, this coming from a guy who's wearing a hoodie and jeans today to the office. Like, I don't put in a ton of effort when it comes, but like, I feel sweatpants are a no-go. Sweatpants need to, especially if you have a title within the office. You probably should be wearing something with a zipper. That's, I mean, it feels...
Something with a zipper.
Very shallow.
It's a good guideline.
Very shallow to assume that what your appearance indicates is indicative of your status in the office. Shame on you, Gabe. If I want to wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants, then I'm going to do it and be comfortable on a Monday after a long week of Rogers talk, after a long weekend of calling high school state championships, after a long Sunday running Sunday karma with Craig Karmazin, which I also wore sweatpants when he was in here yesterday. I'm going to wear sweatpants if I feel like wearing sweatpants. And gosh darn it, I'm doing it today.
All right. I know that it's like dog years when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers saga. But didn't you like go out of town on Friday? Didn't you go to Dubuque?
Yes, that is a fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you met up with your people, did you go out publicly in sweatpants there? Or did you try to really dress it up? When you guys went out wagering, watching games.
We had jeans in Dubuque. We had jeans. Got to keep all those bills in your pockets when you're winning all that cash.
Mm. So you wore something with a zipper. So well done.
Yes. Zipper was in play on Thursday and Friday. Yes.
All right. Well, I will admit that I am certainly the last person to criticize anyone for not dressing up. Because Lord knows it's a very rare occasion when I... wear a shirt with a collar, much less pants with a zipper, much less pants that don't stop at my knees because they're shorts. But it is interesting how there has been a shift, not just in the traditional office space of clothing choices, but like you watch the NCAA tournament and now post-COVID, man, nobody ever wears a shirt and tie anymore. I know Greg Gard.
He tried to bring it back.
Did a thing this year where he tried to like do different homages to previous coaches, right? I mean, I think he wore the Dick Bennett sweater vest at one point, which was great. And I am a big fan of Greg as a human, just like I really like Shaka Smart a lot as well. But they've just all gone like, nope, let's go. Quarter zip, whatever, hoodie. And by the way, Kansas State, They advanced to the Sweet 16, but more importantly, their old school K-State logo on like a lavender zip-up that their coaching staff wears.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a Kansas State alum, but I am very interested in tracking down one of those quarter zips.
Well, you should reach out to Kansas State alum Eric Name.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jordy Nelson. I think he's got a better chance going that direction.
I don't think Jordy, every time I try to text him, he assumes that he's... being asked to come on the program.
It could be the same with Eric at this point. Who knows?
Well, this time, instead of asking him to come on the show, just ask him for some goods from the Kansas State Athletic Department. That'll be a nice change of pace.
That'd be great. And can you come on the show, too, to talk about how you were treated on the way out the door? Because that appears to be a continuing problem for Aaron Rodgers. All right, we will get to some Aaron Rodgers conversation. We will get to some NCAA tournament discussion as well. Gabe is in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. We're excited to have him. And you're here tomorrow, too?
That is correct, sir. Yes.
And so you're doing, like Tausch and I did in the aftermath of the Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee appearance last week when we did a 5-hour program. You are Mr. You should get a 5-hour energy endorsement these two days because you're doing Jen, Gabe, and Chewy 7 to 9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. And then you're doing Wildy and Tausch 9 to noon. That's a lot. Are you concerned that you have to save some of your good stuff for us as a third person in the booth, as the middle talent? Do you not get a word in edgewise with those other two? So you got plenty left over? Like, what are you anticipating?
No, I feel real good about, again, because I never have any idea which direction our show is going to be going. And tomorrow, Jen's off our show. So I'm just going to be riding the coattails of the big guy tomorrow anyway. So I feel pretty confident that we'll have fresh content throughout the course of the 5 hours, if you're listening to all 5 hours on 94.5 ESPN.
Well, we definitely have fresh content with Gabe in as our cousin sub of the day. Maybe we'll have a fresh beard trim tomorrow by the time he comes back. Now that I've brought this up, maybe your lovely bride is listening and thinking, you know what, on second thought, maybe it is time for a little bit of a trim. Tausch is not here, but you know he's always going to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and he'll do that now when we come back next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I know you guys are out there, you're saran wrapping your windows. You've been trying to fight the winter weather all year, keeping that money in. Don't let the draftiness get out and the cash flies with it. Now is the time to give Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin a call. The beauty of getting those new windows and doors from Pella is that you can customize to match your unique home decor. They'll paint them, they'll stain them, they'll leave them bare. Whatever you decide looks best, Pella will deliver. You can get 0% financing for up to 4 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of this month. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. Want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Gabe Neitzelin is our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Jesse, who you got all lined up? You got Gabe today and tomorrow. Who else is scheduled to appear this week on a Tausch-free edition of Wildy and Tausch?
Oh, it's going to be a fun week. Brian Bulaga, Iowa. He's
wow,
back
he
Wednesday.
Came back?
He's back Wednesday.
Wow. Yeah. I feel better about what we're doing around here.
And I texted Brian Bulaga, Iowa, while I was in Iowa the other day. I thought that was kind of fun.
Nice. That's good. Good work.
Our friend Brad Nortman, everyone's favorite punter radio host.
He's very good. That's, we like him. Yeah. He does
Thursday,
a nice job.
Thursday, Brad will be in. And Friday, we're finishing strong this week, Jason.
Oh, boy.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Brett Favre?
Oh. I love you guys.
Joe Thomas.
That is a good get. I know you guys are close.
We so text all the time, yeah.
He's happy to do it for you. But. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are our cousin subs this week. Shaka Smart is available now as well because of yesterday. I would love to do a show with Shaka, by the way. I am a huge Shaka supporter. In fact, I was just talking about him. Our little basketball team had its kind of season-ending party. They went bowling. Sydney, who has her own bowling ball because she wants to be just like Jesse Nelson someday, did not take it, though. She thought it would be poor form to show up with your own bowling ball, which I supported her decision.
I respect that.
I was talking with some of the moms and dads about connectivity, which is a word that Shaka uses all the time talking about his team, right? And how much I like the post-game milkshake, and I want to adopt that. And then the next day they lost, which was disappointing to me because I am, Gabe, we had this discussion on your program. I am pro-Marquette. I am so pro-Marquette, and it's not because we're the flagship for the radio or because I like Homer and Tony or any of that. Like, I have been pro-Marquette even as a Badger alum. I mean, I used to pretend, I was telling this to Kaylee Murata, who is the sports director of WKOW in Madison, whose dad, Mark, played for then the Warriors. And I used to pretend to be her dad and Terry Reasons and Doc Rivers in my basement on the south side of Milwaukee, usually matching up with, was it David Rivers for Notre Dame? Was that their point guard, if I remember correctly, back in the 80s? Gabe, you wouldn't know. It's okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's who it was.
Well, they were both independents back then. They didn't have conferences and stuff. But I was legitimately disappointed yesterday, and you and I, not that we have crossed words very often, but I did lament the fact that I feel like, and we have a couple of teammates who are definitely this way, who are not as reciprocative of the in-state support of the other major Division I basketball team as I am of Marquette as a Wisconsin alum. And you told me that on the social media, which is just a place that this is why I don't spend much time there anymore, there were some jerky Cardinal and White folks that you have endured. as well.
Yeah. And they came out of the woodworks yesterday, you know, kind of going after Homer, going after different people, saying the Big East isn't a real conference, and this is what happens when you play a real conference. And the whole conference pride is another thing that I just have never quite understood, but whatever. My problem, Jason, is I don't mind. Like, if you don't like Marquette, that's fine. Like, you don't, I'm not saying sitting here saying you have to be like Jason and support both Wisconsin and Marquette. I'm just saying be honest about who you are. Don't, as a fan base, tell me that you don't think about Marquette and Marquette doesn't matter to you when I see a lot of the fan base then go after Marquette and celebrate the fact that they lost in the tournament. And it comes down to this, especially I think a lot of the people that I saw yesterday. Jen made this comparison. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, and it was a couple weeks ago about something different, but it made me think of this. In the movie Big Daddy, Adam Sandler movie from the late 90s.
Boy, I got to be honest. When he started with in this movie, I'm thinking, God, what's it going to be? Is it going to be Hoosiers, Major League? You would have given me 1,000 guesses. Big Daddy would not have been the pick.
Might be Adam Sandler's best film.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Later. We can debate that later. But at one point, like, there's this guy who comes by on rollerblades and yells at Adam Sandler. And Adam Sandler's retort was, "You're mad at your dad, not me. I forgive you." And that's how I feel about a lot of Badger fans who decided to go after Homer yesterday in Homer's mentions on Twitter. Like, "Oh, Homer, your Twitter broken," and thinking they're being smart and clever. You're just mad that Wisconsin did not play very good basketball this year and did not make the tournament, and now you are lashing out at Marquette for having a disappointing loss in the second round. You're mad about your own team, not me. I forgive you.
Well, that's very big of you, Adam.
Oh, thank you.
One team's still playing, though.
And they're playing the Ducks at Oregon.
We going?
I was thinking about road tripping, then I realized the game's tomorrow, so that's probably not going to happen. But I am very happy to see that matchup. It does feel like since people found out about my connection to Eugene, Oregon, it feels like they play each other in stuff all the time, right? Rose Bowls. It just feels like it happens a lot. NCAA tournament games, etc. All right, so I was really disappointed yesterday, not anything to do with my bracket picks, just I wanted to see them go far, right? I wanted to see them in the Sweet 16. Frankly, I wanted to see them in the Final Four. I'm glad that Shaka, who had obviously had some tough times in the NCAA tournament after their great run at VCU, I'm glad he got a W. I would like to have seen them get more. But Gabe, when you look at that game yesterday, and look, I see everything when it comes to college basketball and watching games or watching Bucks games through the prism of I have a little point guard that lives with me, right? Mm-hmm. She's a sixth grader. And Tyler Kolek is a terrific point guard. He wasn't one yesterday, and right. I don't know how much his injury factored into that. But like when I talked to Sydney about how the point guard has to always be in control and calm and the non-panicky player on the floor, and you know, we use the example of Kehi Clark from Virginia throwing that ball away late in the game. Like, you know, he's, and I certainly hope that he gets past that because he's such a, from what I understand, really good dude, a lot of experience. But again, that's why point guards are so important. So that was what Sydney and I talked about yesterday. But that was a tough one to watch. Like the number of turnovers they had in that game and him not 16. Being himself, mm-hmm. that was rough. And I guess I'm curious, Gabe, as someone who certainly has done stuff on the broadcasts and all the other experience you have and the connection to Marquette, as you watch their season, one of the arguments we have on this show all the time is no matter how many good things happen, whether it's the Packers season or the Bucks season or whatever else, it was the season of success. You get a number two seed, you would like to be in the Sweet 16, you win the conference, you would like to be in the Sweet 16. Was Marquette's season a success?
A runaway success, Jason. Undoubtedly a success. This is a team that was picked to finish ninth in its own conference. And I understand that those weren't their expectations. They thought they could be a good team, and then they played a couple of pretty good non-conference opponents, and when they beat the crap out of Baylor in November here in Milwaukee, and they won that game by 26. a Baylor team that's still playing, by the way, I think that made them start to believe that they might have something because they lost their top two scorers from a year ago. They returned. All these guys are going to be coming back next year. But they were picked to finish ninth in the conference. And then they did something that they had never done before, outright win the regular season title, something that they've never done before, outright win the Big East Conference Tournament, have the Conference Player of the Year, Conference Coach of the Year. They won a tournament game for the first time in a decade. The last time they won a tournament game was 2013. And you talked about Shaka's, you know, the lack of success he had in the tournament at the University of Texas before he came to Marquette, where they made the tournament every year and just couldn't get out of the first round. Like, they did so many good things. And yes, they were a two seed. Yes, I was expecting them to go farther. And yesterday was a disappointment. No way around that. It's 100% a disappointment. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the season doesn't mean anything. And the rest of the season then, especially in the NCAA tournament, it becomes so strange. And this is true in football as well, but it's the way it has to be. It's the way it's been built up. But you're going to have a bad game every now and then. Can you overcome that bad game? It becomes tougher in the NCAA tournament the further you go because you're playing some pretty good teams. And they had a bad moment to have a bad game yesterday in the tournament. And it's one game. We see these upsets all the time in the tournament. The NCAA tournament isn't the best way to determine who the best team in college basketball is. It's the most entertaining, it's the most fun way, and it's made the NCAA a ton of money over the years. But it's not always the best way to determine who the best team is, because upsets happen. You have an off night, the other team gets hot from the outside, the other team does something that you weren't expecting in a single elimination format. So I'm not going to pin all my hopes and dreams to a single game in the tournament when this is a program that hasn't won a tournament game in a decade, and they got over that hump. And oh, by the way, now they return all these guys that are going to have that chip on the shoulder for next season. Like, yeah, next season the expectations are going to be a little bit different. You're going to have to find a way to navigate that storm in the NCAA tournament. But this past season was a resounding success for the Marquette University men's basketball program.
So I completely agree with you, but if this conversation sounds familiar, it should, because last year, the University of Wisconsin men's basketball team was picked ninth to finish in the conference, won a share of the regular season title, went and won their first NCAA tournament game as a three seed, not as a two seed, a three seed, and then lost in the second round to a very beatable Iowa State team, and they did it with basically home court advantage at Fiserv Forum. And all you heard from Badgers fans, and again, this is why I'm fascinated. I never paint, and I said this on Twitter as I got into this debate about Packers fans being celebratory about Rodgers' impending departure. Fan bases are not one homogeneous group that everyone has the same opinion. Mm-hmm. They're not. So I don't paint them that way. But there was a very large group of Badgers fans that could not stop talking about what a failure last year's season was. Basically the same season that Marquette had. And here we sit, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Gabe. I'm juxtaposing those two because, and again, expectations play into this all the time, but they started the year with low expectations a year ago in Madison. Johnny Davis emerges as a lottery pick. Now this year, you lose a lottery pick, you lose an eighth-year senior in Brad Davison, who played there since 1978, and Chucky Hepburn has a different role, doesn't play as well, doesn't facilitate, has to score more. Like, these are the things that happen with college basketball teams. And as someone who views college basketball as his favorite thing to watch for his own enjoyment as opposed to his job, I just want to watch my teams that I enjoy and I want to see do well. I'm not a fan. See what do well. I want to see them keep doing well. And when a season ends prematurely in your mind, that's fine to be disappointed.
Yep.
But being so pissed off and wanting people fired all the time, that's when I start to struggle with what we do for a living.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be calling for Shaka's head in Milwaukee anytime soon. Like what he's done in terms of the change of culture within the program, you talked about it a little bit there, Jason, earlier in the segment, about just the connectivity that he has with his team. And if you spend any time around these players, you understand the real love that they have for one another, just the pure enjoyment they have being around one another, and you understand how much they care for each other. It's something that's really cool, you know, and that's coming off of, and we got to be reminded of it yesterday with Joey Hauser being on Michigan State. Like, the Housers decided that it was a culture they didn't want to be in anymore when it was Steve Wojciechowski, for whatever reason. And I'm not blaming if you want to transfer, go ahead and transfer. It was disappointing at the time they decided to do that because Marquette thought they could have a pretty good team if both of those guys returned with Marcus Howard at the time. But they decided to transfer out. And kids might transfer out of the program this year because that's just the era we're in college basketball. But I can't imagine a lot of them that are going to be transferring out. I can't imagine that. They're returning all these guys. They're going to have a couple of freshmen they add to the mix. It's going to be a fun team continuing to go forward. And the culture around this program is 100% because of what Shaka Smart is now building.
We'll get back to Marquette a little bit later because I know I'm already getting some tweets about this and a few text messages. But I do, speaking of things that I got a lot of tweets about, I want to get to some of the things that Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network said, because I amplified that, and then I didn't argue with anybody. I stated my opinion and then went about my weekend. But it was interesting to see how strong some of the responses were as we await the impending departure of Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. And at least some of the Packers fan base is undoubtedly celebrating that. We'll talk about that coming up after you hear from Tausch talking about our great partnership with AmFam. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. You and a friend will receive pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise to support your Wisconsin Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. That's amfam.com/badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly and insure carefully.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Neitzelin is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe better. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for a full breakdown. Gabe and I will go position by position throughout the Wisconsin-Oregon NIT quarterfinal matchup to preview that game. What do we think of the NIT?
I think I'm
unhealthily enjoying it, frankly.
No,
I watch the game. The donuts with Greg Gard game, obviously. I'm enjoying it, and I'm a little embarrassed by it.
No,
frankly.
If your team is playing in it, enjoy it. Marquette was in it a few years ago, and what was cool for them, because they typically play games at Fiserv Forum, where they decided, hey, NIT, we're probably not going to draw a big game. So when they played their home games, they did it inside the Al McGuire Center on campus, and the atmosphere was just electric. You know, just being a smaller venue, that really worked out for them. But what I enjoy about the NIT, and I don't know if they're doing it this year because I haven't watched any NIT games yet, but they usually use the NIT as a place to experiment with rules. So when they thought about, and since have gone to that international three-point line for men's basketball, they floated that. They tried that out in the NIT first when they decided to go from 35 seconds to 30 seconds. They did that. When Marquette played a few years back, they played quarters instead of halves the way they do in the women's college basketball game. So the NCAA just kind of uses the NIT as a, hey, let's experiment to see how this actually works out in gameplay before we implement it for everyone. And I think that's just a really smart. It doesn't happen very often for me to say the words I'm about to, but it's a really smart idea by the NCAA.
So it's like their XFL.
Yes. Yes.
Let's try a fourth and 15 onside kick and see how it works.
Only you're doing with actual teams that play your brand, because, I mean, the XFL is enjoyable.
Different.
It's just different, yes.
I have not watched a lot of XFL or USFL. Which one's going on now? XFL is going on right now?
XFL's right now, yes. Shout out to The Rock.
I do like to see where former Packers, like the guys that didn't quite make the team or spent time on the practice squad, I do like to hear familiar names, so I'll tune in from time to time. But what we were sold a bill of goods on him, if I recall correctly. Big steal in the fifth round. Really going to be good. And then Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And, sometimes quarterbacks aren't all that good. Even ones that play for the Green Bay Packers.
He almost won that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers that year, Jason. It was a thrilling
Sunday
night game.
And he beat the Bears. Yeah, no, he had some moments. And we'll see what happens at the quarterback position moving forward. And that brings us to some of the things that Kyle Brandt said. I don't know the history of his basement soliloquies, but this one I happened to watch, and then I retweeted it, which led to a lot of Packers fans watching it and a lot of Packers fans responding to it. And it resonated with me because I don't know how big the group is, Gabe. I don't know if it's 10% of Packers fans. I don't know if it's 50% of Packers fans. That seems high. But there are definitely Packers fans who are celebrating Aaron Rodgers' impending departure. Either they don't think he can play anymore, or they're sick of him personally, or they love Jordan Love, whatever the reason. But some of them are purely just, I don't like Aaron Rodgers, and I'm celebrating that we're getting rid of him. And that is definitely the phraseology in their minds. And Kyle Brandt talked to some of those fans. Here is a portion of what he said from his basement.
Be very careful celebrating the departure of Aaron Rodgers and doubling down on celebrating prematurely the excellence of Jordan Love. You don't want to do that. I was listening to some radio calls this morning to ESPN Radio in which different ladies and gentlemen were saying, thank God Aaron is leaving. We can now get the Ferrari out of the garage that is Jordan Love. You know why I say it's just breaks my heart? You find people in that incredible state don't know what it's like to not have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You don't even know what it's like to have merely a Pro Bowl quarterback, a guy who's limited, but man, really good here and there, makes the Pro Bowl sometimes. You don't even know what that's like. You don't know what it's like to have a 7.5 or 8 out of 10 quarterback. You don't. And I'm not just talking about the young people. I'm not talking about the kids. There are adults among you with families of their own. Parents who have never taken one breath of Wisconsin air that doesn't include the life of having a Pro Bowl and All-Pro and Hall of Fame quarterback. You've never lived a second. You don't know it. You don't remember the magic man, Don Majkowski. You don't remember before that. You were born during the Favre era, Favre ascension, and you have just coasted for years. I know. I've spent about half my life in the Chicagoland area. It's rough, guys. Rough. In my life, I've never seen an excellent quarterback. A lot of fan bases haven't. You guys think that's the way it works, that you have this amazing all-time quarterback, and eventually it goes really ugly, and there's a sloppy divorce, and he leaves, and then the next Hall of Famer just comes right up. You guys struck oil twice in a row for 30 years. You won 2 Powerball tickets. Don't you think the odds are considerably against you that you're going to win a third?
That is Kyle Brandt of NFL Network and Good Morning Football from his basement. He's got a little bit more. We'll play a little bit more a little bit later. But this, Gabe, this did resonate with me because I have been that person who has been saying, that's fine if you believe that moving on from Rodgers is the right decision. And I can see that position without any issue of clarity. He's going to be 40 years old. You maybe don't believe they can win a Super Bowl if he stays, so move on. Totally reasonable position. What I don't understand is the giddiness that I get from some fans purely based on, I don't like this guy. I don't like the stuff he says, whatever it might be. And then the corollary is, and again, I am definitely not rooting against Jordan Love. My first year being in a locker room with him, I really enjoyed getting to know him, and he could not have been better dealing with the fallout, which in retrospect now I wonder if it helped at all in some ways, of Jordan Love's going to ask for a trade if Rodgers comes back for another year. Because quite frankly, it certainly became a very large narrative, even though he never actually said it, which I do wonder if it in some ways factored into the Packers' approach with him this offseason, because you heard Brian Gutekunst say that he had been in constant contact with Jordan and his people. But we'll get to that a little bit later. This celebratory nature has bothered me, and I have said, be careful what you wish for. That has been my caution. But it is a nuanced opinion, Gabe, because it doesn't mean that moving on from Rodgers, in my opinion, is the wrong move either. Like, you can convince me that this is the best thing to be realistic about your chances moving forward. You're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. Get what you can for him. Start the clock on Jordan. I don't necessarily agree that it's the best thing in the world to get rid of the guy, but you can at least convince me. What you can't convince me of is, this is really exciting. I'm so glad to get rid of this guy.
I am terrified of what comes next for the Green Bay Packers after they trade Aaron Rodgers. Because to Kyle Brandt's point, I'm that person that he was talking about that has not lived their Packer fandom without a Hall of Fame quarterback. There is 1 year that I can think of in my life where, and even then it wasn't really a rebuilding year, it was just switching in a new quarterback. Like, the Packers being in rebuilding mode isn't something that I am very familiar with as a Packers fan. And the year, of course, that I'm talking about is 2008 when Aaron Rodgers stepped in for the first time. But that was also coming off of an NFC Championship game appearance with a team that Brett Favre at the time called one of the most talented he had ever been around in his time in Green Bay. So you're taking a roster that's pretty good, pretty young, has those weapons for Aaron Rodgers that he steps right into in 2008. And yeah, they go 6-10, but it wasn't even a rebuild year. Whereas this team went 8-9 with Aaron Rodgers last year, has a ton of question marks up and down the roster, and now you're inserting a new quarterback in. Like, Jason, who do I, for the last 15 years, or 14, I guess, after that first year for Aaron, I knew I could trust and believe in Aaron Rodgers. I knew how good he was. I don't know who to believe in as a Packers fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Goody's good at his job. I don't know if Matt LaFleur's good at his job. I don't know if Jordan Love is good at his job. I have no idea who to believe in and go, yep, that's the guy that's going to get the job done and the reason the Packers are going to be good in 2023. There's just a blank canvas in front of me, and I have no idea what it's going to turn out to be with the Green Bay Packers in 2023 and beyond. That's terrifying.
So are you celebrating as a Packers fan, or are you like Gabe and you're terrified as a Packers fan? Now, there's a wide swath in between.
It's an uneasy feeling as a Packers fan. And I understand that comes from a place of privilege for being a Packers fan that has had a team that's been as good as they have been for the last 30 years. But, oh boy, it's not a good feeling.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. I am going to put a celebratory poll in the field as well. About whether you are, for whatever reason, are you happy that the Packers are getting rid of Aaron Rodgers? But I am fascinated now. Gabe, that was very eloquent. I can see why ESPN Radio nationally uses you. Terrified Gabe or celebratory Joe Packers fan, get that COVID-denying crazy person that's on the radio or on YouTube every Tuesday out of here. There's that fan, there's Gabe, and then there's a bunch of you in the middle. I want to hear from all of you. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. But if you are celebrating Rodgers' departure, I especially want to hear from you because I do want to understand that. If you hate his guts or you're sick of his crap or whatever it is that has caused you to get to the point where you are going to celebrate when that trade goes through, I would like to hear from you. Because I that part is the part that I have not understood as this has unspooled over the last several weeks. That's the one group you can think that it's the right decision for your team, but the celebratory giddiness, that's the part that I just don't get. 844-770-3776. We'll get to your calls and texts next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
I just want to feel something. When
844-770-3776. This is not a confrontational question. If you are celebrating Aaron Rodgers' impending departure, that's fine. I don't agree with you, but I want to hear from you. If you're terrified like Gabe, I also want to hear from you. And if you're somewhere in the middle, that's fine too. 844-770-3776. Gabe, before we get to calls, do you think there are more people like you? Or do you think there are more people like Kyle Brandt was talking to in that clip that are celebrating?
I think there are a lot more people that are celebrating and haven't gotten to the point where you start thinking about the future of the franchise. And, oh, by the way, Jason, again, not that, you know, I don't want to, you know, start living on your nuance block because I know, you know, Johnny Nuance is who you are on this show.
It's a tough place to live, by the way.
Yeah, it is a tough place to be.
In this business.
But I understand that this would be the right time to move on from Aaron Rodgers because you don't know how much longer he's going to commit. This is not a Super Bowl caliber roster as it currently stands. And the way the contract is structured, it's worse the longer he sticks around in terms of trying to actually go through the rebuilding process. So I understand that this is the right time to move on. And I have accepted that. That doesn't mean it's not terrifying of what comes next for the Packers because we're just going into uncharted territory in my from my perspective in my lifetime.
And that non-Super Bowl roster has lost four starters in free agency. You can say you don't care about Jaron Reed. You don't care about Dean Lowry. You don't care about Robert Tonyan. And you don't think Alan Lazard was a one receiver anyway. But you still don't get better by having guys that were in your building as starters, even if you don't think they were great starters, leave your building. Because you got to replace them, and you had other holes in your roster. 844-770-3776. Jesse, the phone is, I don't want to say literally ringing off the hook, but sort of ringing off the hook.
It's ringing. It's
lots
ringing aplenty.
So if you're on hold, we will get to you to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, but let's at least kick it off with our first call. Let's go to Ryan in Racine. Ryan, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm celebrating having this many calls. So,
yeah,
that's all I can say.
I'm a fan of Rodgers, but I honestly don't really feel like he's happy in Green Bay, and I don't feel like he wants to bring a Super Bowl to Green Bay. I feel like he's got that chip on his shoulder, and he's going to play well enough and do what he's got to do, but he don't want to make the organization look good at the same time.
Well,
so
and
for that reason, I feel like it's
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ryan. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. I mean, for that reason, I feel like it's just that time.
Yeah, and let's be honest. He did not, Gabe, and thanks for the call, Ryan. He did not do himself any favors in that perception. Like 90% retirement when I went in. And then I really thought, Tausch and I talked about this throughout last week. Like when A.J. Hawk asked him,
the only real question?
Yeah. If you emerged from the darkness of the Packers told you, no, we still really want you back. You're our guy. Would you have been gung ho? And he said, not really. That's what leads Ryan to think what is a perfectly reasonable opinion.
Yep.
That was the, of all the things he said, and I saw Peter King referenced it in Football Morning in America today. You know, he was really surprised that Rodgers said he was 90% retirement when he went into the darkness. Okay. I mean, I kind of figure after a long season that didn't go your way, you could certainly be thinking that way. I never believed he was going to retire. But the fact that if the Packers had kissed his butt when he came out of the darkness and still told him, you're the guy, we'll, if we have to trade Jordan, we will, you're the guy, would you have been gung-ho? And not really. That said everything I needed to know from his perspective of where he was with this team.
When it came to the retirement thing, Jason, the only, I never believed that retirement was an actual option. The first time I thought it could have been an option was during that when he let it be known that he had booked this darkness retreat during the season. And it was then where he's like, okay, I'll go into that darkness retreat. That's when I'll contemplate retirement and do all that. Like, oh, okay, if you're booking this in the middle of the season, then maybe retirement was an actual, real potential thing.
Sure.
But yeah, I guess I didn't really believe the 90% number either. Just kind of helps his narrative and helps him put his chip on his shoulder, which we know he's done. It's somebody who, whether you're talking about the teacher who told him he wasn't going to play in the NFL, the college coach who wished him luck on trying to find a college career, not being recruited and going to Buttes, not being the number one overall pick. This is a guy who thrives off of this at this point. Jordan Love being drafted, he thrives off of having that chip, and it seems to me like he's trying to manufacture that for his next stop, whenever it happens to go down and he ends up in New York.
Well, we'll find out about the timeline, hopefully in the coming days, and hopefully Trey Wingo will be right, and the deal will get done this week. We will get to more of your calls. I know there's a bunch of you on hold. We will get to you coming up. Want to remind you that Fleet Farm's fishing and marine event is going on right now. Now, I do have to go there today. We need corn for the deer. We need some bird seed. I'm not a fisherman, but if you are, now is the time to head in and reel in the deals. Get it? On everything you need for fishing. From fishing licenses to reels, everything you could possibly need at Fleet Farm, your fishing headquarters. And Fleet Farm also has everything you need to keep your four-legged friends happy and healthy like ours with eight of them. Shop their selection and score savings on top brands in toys, treats, food, and more. And with Fleet Farm's price match guarantee, you'll always get the lowest price on your pet's food. Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. More of your calls to kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.